The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Who? Yeah, you're joking, right?
Yeah, nothing. No.
Oh, you two. You're like a little married couple, aren't you? Enjoying a weekend away.
I know. It was ducks. All right.
Yeah, it's pretty prime, everyone. It's Thursday. As our MLS Cup week continues, you may not have heard this, but Dan Wong accompanied Craig Forrest to the FIFA. Right now, they're in the capital in Washington. In I think in Craig's five-star hotel room. Or was it Wonger's?
Wonger's five-star hotel.
That's where you got the flashing red light in the window, is it?
Exactly.
Open.
Yeah. I think the question that we all need to ask, though, Dubs is here, JC's here, Jimmy's here, I'm Shams. How was the FBI screening process?
We haven't done it yet.
Oh.
But we're not in a clear yet. No.
So when does it happen?
We don't really know.
9:30 or 10 tomorrow, we think, because they have us going to the event, the draw, 2 hours early. And I think that's what it's going to be. But
so
the answer to that is, sorry, Charms, the answer you were looking for is, I was the big spoon.
But the screening process is to enter the FIFA awards, not to get into the country.
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we got into the country okay. It was a kind of a bit of a surprise, to be honest.
But there's a chance you might be denied entry into the FIFA draw.
Okay.
I look forward to hearing about that.
Yeah, at least one of them anyway. So how has it been so far? You've been bumping into some high-fluting FIFA executives, I hear?
Yeah. The hotel's full of everybody you could possibly imagine. Lots of African representation. We met the president of the New Zealand Football Association, Joanna Wood.
Joanna Jones.
Yeah. She was great. Saw her this morning. Bumped into Rio Ferdinand. Had a good chat with him.
Exchanged numbers.
Yeah. Amazing. Did you really?
Yeah.
Rio's going to be a big part tomorrow, right? He's really involved.
Yeah. And he was just coming back from rehearsals. He's been here for 3 days doing rehearsals. And he's like, they still don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like, he goes, he's a conductor. So he's got an earpiece. He goes, if I don't have that, I have no idea what's going on. So they go back again today for another two full draw, because they go right through the whole process, and they've done it over and over and over and over. So good to see him. Really good to see him. It was pretty cool. Roberto Baggio was here. Mm-hmm. Pep's here, the center back, Portuguese guy. Mark Schwarzer I saw this morning. And then there's guys I don't even recognize, but I'm like, legend.
And Craig said, if Sharms were here, he'd know who everyone was.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be fanboying all over the place. So.
I wouldn't be fanboying. I'd be lurking in the shadows just like, so cool. You know, I wouldn't be
fanboying. You'd be watching from the closet, you little creep.
Yeah. So the Divine Ponytail's there, right? Baggio. But he cut that off years ago, didn't he? Like 20 years ago.
He had his hoodie up, and he looked like the Grim Reaper. And I couldn't even recognize. I was like, I recognize him, but who the hell was that guy? And one of the FIFA guys, he goes, I don't know. I recognize him too. And then Rio came back and I was like, who's that Rio? And he's like, that's Roberto Baggio. I was like, oh, no way.
Wow.
So cool.
So was Rio surprised to see you there? Must have been, right? It's been years.
Yeah. It has been a while. Yeah. I interviewed him in New York with Sportsnet years ago when he was with Man United still. Mm-hmm. But he's doing well. I could have never imagined when we were at West Ham and he was young lad that he would be a conductor for the World Cup draw. I just didn't see that happening.
he's really worked his brand well. And I think he left BT Sport, didn't he, last year, I think, because he wanted to work for himself, essentially, and just do his own thing.
That's right. That's right.
Really great, because he's got a big personality.
Big personality. I mean, he's an influencer. We were looking on Twitter. He's got 10 and a half million followers on Twitter and 6.5 or something on Instagram. But yeah, he's a real deal.
I've got 800, so you know. Because I've got to
start somewhere, Wunger. That's okay. That's okay. Listen, we're in a burgeoning soccer nation, okay? We haven't quite got the numbers, perhaps, of those who have been ingrained in traditional football markets for many years. Imagine if Craig was still in England, never left, he'd be even more of a personality than he is now. Have you ever thought, Craig, why did I move home?
It couldn't be any worse.
Charles, why? Why put him on the road?
Halfway through, I thought, oh my God, I'm entering a world I don't want to be in right now because I'm going to trigger Craig.
You're not supposed to ask any questions you don't know the answer to. You're supposed to be the lawyer of us.
So what's the agenda today?
Breakfast and then a cocktail party. So and a nap. We ended up finding
after breakfast.
We get free breakfast. It's like an all inclusive resort, and we get to go to two different resorts. So I'm at the Intercontinental, which is fantastic, the Willard. If anybody wants to look it up. And Craig is at the Waldorf Astoria, where it is Christmas time every day of the year, it seems. And there's a FIFA lounge. You can get cheap drink or free drinks. You can hang out. You can do whatever. But Craig and I ambled off and found the cheapest dive bar in Washington, D.C. The concierge said, what are you guys looking for? There's this. We go, dive bar. And she's like, I know a couple places. And she sent us there.
She nailed it.
She nailed it. It was great. We hung out with, there was a convention here with the people who work in energy. So we were hanging out with people who work in energy at this dive bar. They're hammered.
Yeah. Talking about electricity.
Yeah. Talking about selling us on electricity. And we're like, all right, this is great.
This is the most funny prime thing ever, right? You go all that way. And you're in these hotels with Roberto Baggio and Rio Ferdinand and Pepe and these who's who of world football. And you guys hang out with energy people at a dive bar. What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, we got two new followers, Luis Fernandez and Adam Rodriguez. So
what is the point?
The concierge is like, what do you want to do? And they're like, we want to go slumming.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the spot.
Oh man, that's just so typical of us. Well, enjoy today, fellas. We actually have a guest today who's just popped in to get a set for the MLS Cup that goes this Saturday, Vancouver Whitecaps against Miami. He's a guy that's kind of just retired, actually, after an 18-19 year career, six teams, captain four of them. And we were just discussing yesterday, actually, how we enjoyed him as a footballer. So tenacious. Jimmy played against him, actually, a number of times. And now he's come to our side of things, the media side of things, Apple and MLS season pass. It's Dax McCarty. Dax, welcome to Footy Prime.
Thanks for having me, guys. Apologies for the background. I'm in a rental house right now. I got my little guy sleeping in behind me. I got a bunch of pictures of dogs, so probably not a studio you expected to see.
It's better than the bed behind us.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but you have an excuse. I hope that's a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
It's not.
Okay.
There's a question we asked as well, Dax, actually. No, they're in D.C. for the...
We've got something to announce, Charm.
What's that?
We've got something to announce.
Hey, it couldn't hurt our numbers, let's be honest.
It's only fans, right?
It's not anything that we don't already know.
Right? That's great.
Dax, so listen, before we get to the match this weekend, the broadcast studio, has it helped you make that adjustment from retirement, or does retirement still kind of suck?
Retirement always sucks, right? There's no easy way to go about doing it. I think any athlete will tell you that it's almost impossible to figure out when the perfect time is, because as you get older, you feel like you become a better player, and you want to tell yourself you're not losing that physicality or that pace or that athletic ability, of which I had very minimal amounts. But there's a certain point where every athlete has to look themselves in the mirror and say, all right, it's time. And so I feel like I got pretty lucky. I feel like I I did it at the right time where I was still able to contribute at a relatively high level for my team and I wasn't an anchor, right? I was still playing at a good level. I contributed in the playoff run that we had with Atlanta United. And then even though, you know, my brain was saying, hey man, like you can keep going, play another year. My heart was like, you're good. Don't, you're playing with house money right now. You don't have to go and potentially risk an injury or completely losing form and stinking. So it's a tough decision for every player, as Jim can tell you, but the transition's been really easy. I absolutely love what I do. I love talking about the game. Coaching was kind of on my mind, but I wanted my family, after years and years of right not really having that stability, I think in the media game, especially nowadays, maybe you guys can speak to it a little more, you can kind of live wherever you want and you can travel and you have a home studio and you can kind of be a little bit more flexible. That's not the case with coaching. So I love the transition. I feel like it's a perfect fit for me and what I love to do and just be able to talk about the game.
But do you think the coaching call might one day
maybe
pique interest? Yeah.
Maybe, potentially. I mean, we've seen it before, right? Like I think if you guys watch the NBA at all, J.J. Redick was a really good analyst and broadcaster for ESPN. And then he, an opportunity presented itself and he just said, you know what, I'm going to take the dive into coaching. So I love the game of soccer. It's all I've ever known my whole life. I can't imagine myself doing anything outside of the game. And so right now, the media thing makes the most sense for me because I love it and I'm passionate about it. But in my last year in Atlanta, I really enjoyed helping younger players. And that was more my role, I think, maybe than the on-field stuff. And so there's certainly, I think, a competitive aspect that you don't get when you're in media of the day-to-day, how can I challenge myself? How can I challenge my team? How can I fill that competitive void that every athlete kind of experiences when they retire? So could be coaching. I don't know. I'll never say no to anything.
You know, you played for quite a few clubs. You got to travel, live in different cities. Now that you're retired, where's home going to be?
Florida. I'm back down in Orlando, Florida. So just outside of Orlando, there's a little town called Winter Park where I grew up. And I loved growing up down here. Obviously, you know, the weather in the summer can be quite brutal, as I'm sure everybody knows. But year round, you can be outside. Right now, it's 75 and sunny. Literally no complaints whatsoever. And I have a lot of family down here. And so I left home when I was 16 to join the under 17 national team in residency over in Bradenton, Florida. But I've been gone for about 20 years, 21, 22 years. And now to be able to come full circle and be back home where I'm close to my brother and my parents and a bunch of friends that I grew up with. I got really lucky that I married the right woman who went to a college down here. And she said, hey, look, when you're done playing, let's go back to Winter Park. I said, where do I sign?
That's great. I mean, you mentioned that playoff run with Atlanta. You guys, you knocked out Messi into Miami. Yeah. So, I mean, what's the secret? It seems pretty straightforward.
The secret, you have to hope Messi has an off night or two. And you also have to be really good defensively. You have to be compact. One thing I've noticed, especially a difference in this year, especially in this playoff run, Javier Mascherano has made some really tough decisions, which I'm sure maybe people, you guys have already covered, but benching a friend of his and one of the greatest strikers of all time in Luis Suarez, because he knew he would be able to get more out of this Inter Miami team. That's a really difficult decision. And that's probably the hardest decision Javier Mascherano's had to make in his coaching career. And it's paid dividends. Lionel Messi and Inter Miami right now look unstoppable in the attacking third. So with any United, we knew that they were vulnerable defensively. And so we knew we would give up some chances, but there's a few things that we had in our favor. We had a really hot goalkeeper in Brad Guzan, who stood on his head in almost every game. We had a tactical plan that involved our midfield focusing on Messi pretty aggressively, with me particularly being the old guy saying, I'm not really going to worry about if any of these other players beat us. If these other players beat us, then I can live with that. But don't let Messi have such a big influence on the game that you give yourself no chance. And so every time he passed the ball and he was trying to do these little give and goes and one twos in the box, and every time Jordi Alba got on the ball, it was either myself or Tristan Mayumba or Bartosz Schlich. It was like, all right, don't worry about anybody else. Where's Messi? Because he is obviously the heartbeat of that team. And he almost to a fault gets the ball. Sometimes players look for him even when they should be more selfish and shoot. That's just the gravity that he has. So that was a big key to that. And then you have to be efficient in transition with your chances. I think if Vancouver is going to win MLS Cup, if they're going to win this game, they're going to have to score more than two goals. It's almost impossible to keep this team, this Inter Miami team, from creating chances and scoring goals. So I think you have to win in a shootout because their backline has been better recently, but they're still vulnerable.
Vancouver, I mean, it sounds as though it'd be the same game plan for Vancouver going into this as well, because they are susceptible defensively, and we know what they could do in the offensive zone. How do you think Vancouver handle it? They know them quite well. They obviously played them in the semifinal of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, so they know each other pretty well. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, Vancouver's been one of my favorite teams to watch in MLS this year. What Jesper Sorensen has done has been nothing short of phenomenal. And watching the league this year, I think the players are consistently getting better and better and better. You have more young players coming through. We've always had superstars. Even when Jimmy was playing, there have been superstars that have littered MLS for years and years and years. But I think the overall growth and quality of the middle tier of a roster has gotten better, which is where Vancouver has blown it out of the park. I think Axel Schuster, their GM, deserves a ton of credit for keeping a core group of players together and then making a hard decision to move on from Vanni Sartini and hire a relatively unknown coach in Jesper Sorensen. And this was to my original point of the players have gotten better, but the coaching has stayed, I think, pretty level and pretty stagnant. This year, I've seen the best coaching in Major League Soccer that I've ever seen. The conference finalists all had first-year coaches, Mikey Veras, Jesper Sorensen, Javier Mascherano. These jobs that these coaches have done are nothing short of spectacular. And that's why the Coach of the Year race was so difficult. But Jesper Sorensen, he's met every challenge that has been presented to him. A really bad loss in the CONCACAF Champions Cup final, he only improved his team and made them better. Tons of injuries all over the field. His depth has stepped up and played really well. And so Vancouver is a significantly better and more balanced team than my Atlanta United team was. They've already beaten Inter Miami twice this year. Inter Miami is going to be talked about a ton because of Lionel Messi and how well they're playing. But Vancouver, for me, is the hardest matchup Inter Miami will see all season long. They've got a great striker. They've got an elite number 10 who can manipulate and find space. Really high-level wingers that are going to put that back line under a ton of pressure. And their back six is fantastic. One of the best back lines and goalkeepers in MLS. I cannot sing the praises of Vancouver enough. They are, if this game wasn't in Miami, if it was anywhere else in Vancouver, a neutral venue, I think Vancouver would be the overwhelming favorites. But because it's in Miami, I think that it's a much more 50-50 even type of game.
And Dax, you just talked about kind of the narratives going in, what people are looking at, what they're keying on, whether you're Vancouver or Inter Miami.
Yeah.
How big of an influence and a role and impact do you think a guy like Sebastian Berhalter will have in this match?
Huge. Massive, massive impact. I don't even think it's Sebastian Berhalter alone. I think it's him and Andres Cubas. Andres Cubas, if you guys remember, he started the season at a really high level, best number six in Major League Soccer. And then in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, he actually had a really poor game. And I remember he had some injury issues and he had a little bit, it seemed to me like a loss of confidence. And he kind of had a dip, and now he is back to playing his absolute best. In the playoffs, he's been the best pure destroyer, pure number six in the playoffs, bar none, full stop. So when you have the balance of Cubas being able to be that almost garbage disposal who closes up everything in front of that back line and basically wins the ball back, he can get it to Berhalter and Muller for them to kind of dictate the tempo of the game. That balance in midfield is one of the best that we've seen in the league this year. And so Berhalter plays a key role in that. He plays simple. He plays efficiently. But if you guys remember back to the Eastern or the Western Conference semifinal when they were down to nine men and they had to defend for their lives against LAFC, Sebastian Berhalter, he's that emotional kind of juggernaut for this team. He was pumping up the crowd, winning tackles, playing right fullback. I've just seen such growth in Berhalter this year. It's no surprise that he's a big part of the national team and that he's playing the best soccer of his career. So those two guys, Berhalter and Cubas, they're going to be key if Vancouver is going to win this game.
Moving forward, I'm going to steal that from you using garbage disposal as a term of endearment.
It is a term of endearment. That is a term of endearment for Cubas because he is the best one in the league at that. It seems like the ball, it just finds him, right? If the ball's on the foot of an opponent and he gets a 50-50, he's going to come out with it.
He's been brilliant all year for sure. You mentioned Müller, obviously, and it's the biggest story of Vancouver, but he has got a knock, whether it's a hamstring or whatever it is. Meanwhile, Ryan Gold is getting healthy from that knee injury. Yep. He looked really good coming off the bench the last time out. He looks really fresh in training, or what we've heard so far. Is there a temptation to put Gold to start Gold, do you think, on Saturday? Or is Müller there regardless?
Champagne problems, right, guys? I mean, seriously. I just think it comes down to Thomas Müller and his fitness level, because I agree with you. He hasn't looked 100% the last couple of games. It looks like he's been nursing a knock or something. Obviously, you don't want to speculate, but just from what your eyes tell you from watching the last couple of games, he doesn't look to be himself. So that's a question for the medical staff and for Jesper Sorensen. To answer your question, yes, there absolutely will be a temptation to play Ryan Gold from the beginning. But if Thomas Müller says he's fit and if he says he's healthy, then you start him. Because Ryan Gold has shown that, first of all, he's a good enough teammate to swallow his ego and swallow his pride and say, I don't have any issues coming off the bench in the biggest game of the season because I know that I'm still working my way up to full fitness and the team is in a great run of form. But if Thomas Müller's nursing a knock and an injury and maybe he can't go 90 minutes, you have to always plan for every eventuality, which could be extra time. It could be penalty kicks. So if Thomas Muller's not 90 minutes fit, I can absolutely see Jesper Sorensen saying, Ryan Gold, you're in from the start. Müller, I'm going to save you. You're kind of my joker that I can put you in the 60, 70th minute so that if the game needs a difference maker to come in and change the game, I have you. And by the way, I get one of the most efficient goal scorers of our time to be able to be in there for extra time and penalties, because you don't want to have to take Thomas Müller out before penalty kicks because you know it's almost a guaranteed goal. So these are the chess matches and all the permutations that a head coach has to go through. I think if Thomas Müller says he's fit to go, he starts.
Do you think Messi is feeling any pressure? I mean, given what he's been through in his career, the biggest stage, the biggest tournaments, the biggest cups, and with all respect to MLS, this isn't the World Cup or even the Champions League at this point. Is he feeling pressure? And if he isn't, is that making him even more dangerous?
I think the best players in the world, they only feel the pressure that they put on themselves to be successful. So I don't think Messi gives a crap or cares about what anyone else says about the pressure that he may or may not be under. He, like you said, he's played in the biggest games of all time. He has played in some of the most monumental games that any player could play in. So I don't think an MLS Cup final will have him feeling butterflies in his stomach. But we all have to understand that these players, they put an immense amount of pressure on themselves to be the best. And you can only be the best when you win trophies and you cap it off at the end of the year. So look, Inter Miami, for the season that they've had and all the plaudits that they deserve, they haven't won a trophy this year. I think you could only say that about Lionel Messi in one season. And it was maybe, I think, the COVID year where maybe there was some competitions that were altered because of it. He's won a trophy in every single year of his career other than this one and that one. So you can bet that he's putting pressure on himself to win this trophy. And let's add another layer into it. Some of his best friends, Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba, are retiring. This is their literal last professional game they will ever play in. So, yeah, I think that they do put pressure on themselves to feel it and to win it. But as far as legacy goes, Lionel Messi's legacy is secure. In my opinion, he is the greatest player that's ever lived of all time, just based on so many different factors: goal scoring, playmaking, football IQ, being able to manipulate and manage any game that he wants to contribute in. But for his MLS legacy, that's different. He's won two trophies. He's been in a significant amount of finals that they haven't won. So for his MLS legacy, I absolutely think that if he wants to be talked about as having such a great impact on Major League Soccer on the field and having trophies in the bag, I absolutely think he needs to win a ring. I think that he'll feel that type of pressure too. But his legacy is the greatest ever. It's not in doubt for me.
Dax, do you think the two respective paths to the final, like Vancouver being tested against LAFC, who had been their Achilles heel, like that's an all-time playoff match that they win, then they beat San Diego, it's a more competitive match, then Inter Miami's rolled. They've outscored opponents 13-1. Yep. Do you think that has any bearing on the outcome?
I think it will give Vancouver even more confidence. So I don't think either team will really care about the path they took, but I think Vancouver, going into Miami, already knowing they have beat them in a high-level, very important knockout game in the semifinal, will give them confidence. being able to go and beat your bogey team, which you alluded to in LAFC, the team that's knocked them out of the playoffs the last couple of years, that will give them even more confidence. And then being able to go and completely dominate the Western Conference Final on the road to a San Diego team who I have been so impressed with all season long. Vancouver, it's almost, we tried to give them a ton of credit throughout the year with our MLS and Apple TV coverage, but it's almost like we can't sing their praises enough. With every hurdle that they've that's been put in front of them, it seems like they just continue to get better and better and better. So I absolutely think that Vancouver should come into this game full of confidence. I think that the path that they took to get there will give them even more confidence, but I think both teams have a tremendous amount of respect for each other. Mm-hmm. I don't think Inter Miami is going into this game thinking, hey, because we scored 13 goals and only conceded one, that we're going to roll through this final. I think Inter Miami looks over at the other team and says, this is the biggest test we're going to have all season long. And it's vice versa for Vancouver as well.
Apart from Messi and Mueller, is there anybody else on that pitch that you want to keep an eye on and thinking, this guy's going to be the game changer and this is the guy that can win this match?
Absolutely. There's too many guys. I had to write an article right now for MLSsoccer.com about a combined 11 between what's the best 11 between Vancouver and Miami. That was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do as an adult, like trying to find the best 11 from both these teams. If you take out the superstars, Messi and Mueller, who the expectations are, any of the front three of the Vancouver Whitecaps are difference makers and game changers. Brian White getting fit has been huge for Vancouver to have that reference. I think Daniel Rios is a good player, but he's not Brian White. And Brian White has shown all year long that you give him a chance, he is an elite finisher in the box. Both wingers, Sabi, Ali Ahmed, nightmare to defend 1v1 in space. Both of them have full confidence in a directive from Jesper Sorensen. If you see a 1v1 opportunity, go. And then you have Brian White and Mueller that can manipulate and find space in the box. It's a really, really difficult task for the Inter Miami backline to deal with those four. And then on Miami's side, I love what Silvetti and Allende have done. Javier Mascherano decided, I need more legs around Lionel Messi when teams try to focus in on him. Allende has been dangerous all year, but his finishing has been a little bit, I guess, inconsistent. He's on 8 goals in the playoffs right now, tied for the most all time. If he scores a goal in MLS Cup, there will be no player in the history of Major League Soccer that scored more goals in the playoffs. He's absolutely a player that you have to keep an eye on. And Silvetti has that young Argentine connection with Messi. He knows exactly what he needs to do to be successful. He's got to help defend, and then he's got to get forward and make sure that when Messi's on the ball with time and space, he's running beyond that back line. So any number of players can affect this game. Those are kind of the 5 or 6 that I think might have the best chance to do it.
So do you have more Vancouver players in your best 11 or more Miami?
That's a great question. I had 6 Vancouver players and 5 Miami players. The difference maker was Takayoka in goal. You know, the goalkeeper. Oh. That was the big choice, and Takayoka has been brilliant. He's the X factor. If Takayoka has a big game, if he makes the saves that we know he's capable of making, I think Vancouver has a really good chance to win.
All you Inter Miami and Messi fans, get at Dax in the comments, please.
Oh, they already do. They already exactly. do.
Oh, yeah. You know, right?
I left Rodrigo De Paul off my combined 11. I'm sure to get crap for that.
Yeah. Welcome to the media world. It's even darker than the actual playing world.
Oh, I know.
You got Jordi Alba at right back. You have Noah Allen, center back, with Tristan Blackman. Left back is Ocampo. Busquets, Berhalter, Muller, and Ali Ahmed, and you squeezed in Leo Messi as well.
So. I try. He was the last one in.
When are you heading down, Dex?
I'm heading down today. So I've got to hop off now, and I've got another media call for MLS that I've got to hop straight onto. Got some stuff I've got to do, and then I'm driving down today for what I believe, guys. I don't know. Call me crazy. I believe this will be the greatest MLS Cup of all time. So it's going to be tough to top that Philly LAFC final from a few years back. Gareth Bale, last minute equalizer. But I think in terms of storylines, superstars, great coaches, the potential to have fireworks, right? The pageantry of it being in Miami. I don't think that you can have a better recipe for a great final.
Great. Sorry, I just wanted to make
one comment. It was, last question, can you share your skin routine, Dax? Your golden tan living in Florida?
I would say I would say that this is a miracle. The camera's doing a lot of work right now.
It's a filter.
I don't have a tan. All I do is pink. And so the less pink I am, the better I am. Right now, I've got some shading and lighting stuff going on behind me, so I appreciate that.
I think it's the aqua green behind you in your rented house.
Yeah, exactly.
Bringing out the skin. Dax, thanks so much, mate. Really enjoyed this.
Thank you, guys.
Again at some point, and enjoy the weekend. It should be a great one, like you said.
I'd love to hop on anytime, guys. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Dax.
Cheers. Thanks, Dax.
All the best.
That is Dax McCarty of Apple MLS Season Pass. As mentioned, Dax had a career. And Jim, you played against him, right? Mm-hmm. Some number of times at BMO Field. He was just a fun player to watch, right? Like a little scampering, playmaking, you know, tenacious, one of those kind of players.
He was, and he would just run and run and run. You actually look for the switch to turn him off. He just kept on going. He was a pain in the ass to play against, but he a great player that you'd want on your team, that's for sure.
For sure. So he's getting set for the greatest match in MLS Cup history. It has got that potential, right? And it's not just us saying this because, you know, obviously the Canadian angle. But Dubs, with all the narratives entering this one, and Messi and Muller, and the fact the way these teams play, the way they just score goals, it does. If it's a 0-0, it'll be very disappointing.
Yeah, but it could be. No, I was going to say yes, it could be disappointing, but the underlying performance was maybe would maybe be great. But no, it's going to be goals. I really do think it's going to be, you know, not defensive errors and mistakes and the other team capitalizing. It might be a little bit of that, but I think it just will be brilliance on both sides. And it's who can outperform the other and keep raising their level every single time. And who's going to respond? Like who, like Asa was talking about, who's going to get the first goal? And as much as that's a cliche in sport in general, I think it's whoever does get that first goal is can the other team ratchet up their performance, the individual standards, but collectively what they can do, and then keep doing that over the course of the game. And then war of attrition a little bit. Like we've talked about how Vancouver have that next man up mentality and they have the depth. Well, Miami do as well. And I think Javier Mascherano is reading an article about him. Yes, he's Messi's buddy and everything, but he's made hard decisions. And Dax was alluding to those, to bench Suarez. And in the playoffs, it's been all Silvetti. So, but it's not just one player on both sides. It's the supporting cast. It's the stars. Can everybody do their absolute best on the day?
Mm-hmm. Do you know, that's a funny, funny one though, right? Because everybody's thinking that it's probably a hard decision, but they're actually friends. And I was wondering if he just said, hey, Suarez, come here, sit down. You're playing like shit right now. Because he could have that conversation with him, couldn't he? Because they're buds.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'd be probably more difficult if you weren't friends and you were just a manager that just met Suarez and you're thinking, fuck, how do I explain this to this guy that I got to drop him?
I would
drop some text in 30 seconds if I had to.
Roll that interview this guy did before he was at Miami about, I think he was doing an interview in Uruguay and talking about not even being able to finish a pickup game because he was already finding himself too old. That's what I would have rolled in. Come on, Doris. Let's have a little listen to what you said about a year
that's
ago.
Right. Let's revisit these comments. How many cortisone shots he needed, right?
Yeah. You wonder, right? When Messi, when Leo got his boys together, you know, a couple of years ago now and said, listen, we've got this new project, you know, with Bex in Miami. I'd love to bring, let's have some fun. Come on over. Let's win it. I'm sure the conversation was had then saying, this is our last hurrah. And maybe we'll be leaving the battlefield without some of us. It's going to be tragic. But let's go together as brothers and do what we can. And there's going to be that belief, that understanding that we might lose some along the way.
Sharp, are you practicing for Footy Prime?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Yeah. Listen, everyone.
You did it really well.
You know what I mean, though? Because, I mean, when Suarez signed, he knew that there wasn't only a contract beyond Inter Miami. And I'm sure Mascherano, he said that Jimmy had that chat with him even back then with all these guys. Even Messi may have said to Javier Mascherano, listen, if it don't work out, we're firing you because I've got to win here. You know, this is my legacy. Now, well, legacy is not his legacy, but I'm kind of building something here in the States. They're businessmen first, right, aren't they?
Yeah, but there's a tremendous amount of ego in there.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, they're all winners. right? Like you look at both of these teams and what they've done over the course of the season, it's extremely impressive. And what Inter Miami have done in amassing that talent and legends as well. They want to win. So it's the dance with Mascherano having that conversation with Suarez about, do you want to win or do you want your ego to prevail? And we come out on the wrong end. Mm-hmm. I think he's still probably feeling a bit bitter about it because the best players want to be on the pitch and there's a little bit of the blinders on about the truth as it pertains to your own game. And if it's mm-hmm. in decline, maybe you're not ready to admit that. Yeah. But I think Jimmy makes a good point.
He talked about that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, for himself, like, you know, when do you decide to hang him up and, you know, when do you become an anchor for your team? And I think Suarez is in that anchor situation.
Well, wanker as well. Yeah, right, wanker, can't he?
No more nibble. Yeah.
Wanker, wanker.
Well, I mean, it would be whoever had to have that conversation with him. If it was Messi, maybe they thought, well, Messi, you have the conversation because if any of us do, there's a good chance we're going to get bitten or spit on. So
yeah. It's like, Suarez was like, why don't you drop yourself then?
But can't you envision though? And I hate that. I don't want to envision it, but can't you envision a reality where Suarez comes on late, scores a big goal? Yeah. I can totally see that. Done it before.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't come to that. Nice 3-0 first half lead, please.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah, it was nice against San Diego.
It was. Could relax a little bit. So, okay, this may or may not be our last pop before the match. Probably will be. Who knows what's happening tomorrow. But let's go around the table. Give us a prediction so we can just mock each other on Monday. Craig?
4-3 Vancouver.
Normal time?
Normal time?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, okay. Wonger?
3-2 Miami. Mm.
All right. Dubsy?
Can I also go 4-3? Except extra time, Vancouver.
Okay. That's different.
Yeah.
Who's scoring?
It's a little bit different. Who's going to score the winner?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to go the natural inclination here is for me to say Ryan Gold, but I'm going to say Ali Ahmed.
Nice. Yeah, I like that.
JC, what do you have?
8-1 Vancouver in extra time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The wheels came off Miami after 90 minutes.
Seven men enter Miami.
Well, after those six red cards for Miami, what do you expect?
Put a dollar on that.
Jimbo?
3-2 Vancouver. Ahmed, White, and Blackman scoring. Blackman off a set piece.
Very specific.
I was going to say 3-2 as well, Vancouver, but I'll say Ali, and I'll say White, and I'll say Goldie with the winner. Ooh. There you have it. And people can hold us to the flame.
Yeah.
And then we'll present the trophy.
The actual World Cup trophy. That's the actual one. It's like the Ashes, right? The live one.
It is like the Ashes. Yeah.
Those listening, Wong is holding up a mini trophy.
Charms has got the real one behind him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the real one. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Can you grab it, Charms?
Yeah.
Bring it closer to the camera.
You got to work on your shoulder mobility.
Oh, you know, Jimmy, it's just too far away. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. You can barely tell, can you? All right. Well, listen, thanks to Dax McCarty. That
was
great chat. There's a lot of Whitecaps this week. Really enjoyed this week, actually. So some good content. If you haven't listened back before kickoff tomorrow, 2:30 Eastern, or I guess more importantly, 11:30 a.m. It is, right? 11:30 a.m.?
Yeah, West Coast.
Yeah. You might see Craig Forrest. I don't know what they're doing.
You never know. We might end up going down there.
Yeah, they might fly you down there, right?
You never know.
Sadly, but tomorrow for the World Cup draw for the FIFA, you might well see Craig Forrest. Are you wearing a tuxedo? What are you going to wear?
Just a suit.
Nude suit.
Or do they dress?
Nude suit. One of those nude outfits.
Yeah. Just a jacket and nothing else.
But do they dress you or do you bring your own suit?
I brought my own suit.
Was it a Sportsnet suit?
No, they all flooded.
Oh, really? Right. You lost them all.
Yeah.
They're still in a moldy box somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like moldy bites all over them.
No. Speaking of moldy bugs. That's what it's turning into. I know.
Yeah. Sportsnet. They can stop my heart.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, like I said, tomorrow is the World Cup. There may or may not be a podcast. We'll try. But there will be lots of social content tomorrow. Okay. And then, the match on Saturday. And then on Monday. We have to go right now. Okay, bye.
Like, subscribe, comment. Please leave your evil messages in the box below. Thank you.
Put in the
Check
us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter. If we ever make one.
Slip it in the mail slot.
But well, why no one's calling us?
Yeah.
Sure.
I can't imagine.
Chris.
I love sports.
I put in a vote for pink and enter Miami.
That was great.